So we're in Daf Mem Beis, and I don't know if you remember we were discussing the halachas of Kiddush Levana, which the Gemara brought in by the Bai, because we're talking about an Ibur Chodesh, etc., etc. And we saw Machloikis, everybody agrees that the latest, you can only do Kiddush Levana until the Pegima, until the blemish of the moon has been filled out. The question is, does it mean filled out until the halfway point, the rainbow has been filled out, or the entire moon has been filled out, which is what we paskin. In other words, any point until the new moon, which is the 16th day of the month, you can still do Kiddush Levana. That's what we paskin. And we discussed yesterday, we went a little bit off subject, but very important shaila is halacha lemaisa, when you have a way up between Zrizim Makdim and Lemitzas on the one hand and Hidur Mitzvah on the other, which one would win the day? And it would seem to be, if we all do Kiddush Levana on Moitzoi Shabbos, as opposed to at the first opportunity to do so, it would seem to be that the minhag certainly is that it's better to do the Hidur Mitzvah. The logic being, as we explained yesterday, because the reason why you normally have to do a mitzvah the first opportunity is because otherwise it's a bizoyin. By delaying the mitzvah, it shows a lack of respect. But if the reason why you're delaying the mitzvah is precisely in order to respect the mitzvah, so it's not because I can't be bothered, I'd rather do my own thing. No, hafuch. The reason why I'm delaying the mitzvah is precisely in order to be mahadir. So that it should be the big day Shabbos or Rav Am, etc., etc. Then surely that cannot be considered a bezoyin, and that's why I would rather wait till Motzei Shabbos. I think the very last halacha we discussed was, and this is discussed in the poskim, is how much, however, can you take a risk, which is very neged this year. If you won't see the Levana this Motzei Shabbos, so what are you going to do? Wait till the following Motzei Shabbos? The following Motzei Shabbos is probably the last night. You're taking a bit of a gamble. You're taking a bit of a gamble because if the next time you want to do Kiddush Levana, it's not available then, well, then you really lost out. So maybe under circumstances like that, you would be better off just doing it in the middle of the week, Tuesday or Wednesday, even though it's not Barayv Am and it's not in Big Day Shabbos, but you might nonetheless be better off because otherwise you run the risk of losing out the mitzvah completely, and that we discussed yesterday. That's also very relevant in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, where there really is a risk, especially in the winter, of having cloud cover every single night. So certainly, as soon as you have an opportunity, you just have to chaperein. So there, we're not going to say wait to do a hidur if that would possibly mean missing out the mitzvah completely. Okay, back to our subject. We're now on the second line of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Daf Mem Beis Omad Aleph. Omalei Rav Acha Midifti L'Ravina V'Livri Hatoiv Ameitiv. Why do we make a bracha Hatoiv Ameitiv? What does that mean? Look at Rashi on the third line. V'Livri Hatoiv Ameitiv Adi Rav Yehuda Porich. We're asking on Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the one who said that you can only make a bracha of Kiddush Levana until the 7th of the month. After that, it's no longer new. Now, the Gemara is asking, says Rashi, on that opinion, Ad Rav Yehuda Porich Nehi Nami. Even though it's true, Demishiva Ve'eleich, from the 7th day and onwards, Leka lemeima, you cannot possibly say mechadesh chadoshim, quote unquote. So that I understand. That we have to have a definition of a new moon. And now there was a machlokes, is it considered new until the 7th day? Is it considered new until the 16th day? So I can appreciate that there's an opinion that holds it's only considered new until the 7th day, following which it doesn't make sense to say mechadesh Chodoshim, because it's not Chodosh. That I appreciate. But nonetheless, Livrich Miho. Why didn't you at least make a bracha from then onwards? Quote unquote, Hatoiv Ameitiv. What's the bracha of Hatoiv Ameitiv? Hatoiv Ameitiv is on goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us. So it's true. You cannot now say the bracha of Mechadesh Chodoshim. There's nothing new about it because Rav Yehuda maintains that after the 7th of the month, it's not new. But why don't you make a bracha Hatoiv Ameitiv shekol sha? Because at every given moment after the 7th of the month, Umeitiv lanu, it's goodness to us. B'miliusa, it's getting fuller and fuller. Tomid, the whole time. Shemoisefes lahoir, it's just adding more and more light. So the Rashi is clearly telling you that the question of the Gemara is only according to Rav Yehuda. According to the second opinion, which was the opinion of Nahardai, what did Nahardai say? That you can only make the bracha until the 16th of the month. So there we understand that you cannot make a bracha v'atoyi v'hameitiv after the 16th of the month. Why not? Because the moon is going in a downward trend. So surely you're not going to make a bracha of the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when in fact that goodness is on its way out. So that's not a kasha. But according to Rav Yehuda, who says you can only make a bracha of Mechadesh Chadoshim until the 7th of the month, but the goodness of the moon is still on its way up because it's becoming brighter and brighter every single day for another week. So therefore we understand, even though it's true you cannot anymore make a bracha of Mechadesh Chadoshim, but why can't you make a bracha of Atayva Ameitiv? That's the Gemara's kasha. Omar Lei, so he responded that no. Hatoiva Meitiv is a bracha which is not correct, is not suitable for Kiddush Levana. By the way, what is the other side of the coin always of the bracha Hatoiva Meitiv? Baruch Dayan Ho'emes. As the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that on a Besura Toiva, make Hatoiva Meitiv, or on any type of goodness. If somebody buys a new fridge at home, which he benefits from and his family benefit from, makes a bracha teva meitiv. Somebody buys a new car or a new home. Now it's true in the Mishnah it says if you buy a new home, you say shechiyanu, but that's only when you're the only the recipient of the goodness. But if there are other people as well, then the bracha is a teva meitiv. So if somebody lives by themselves and they buy a car, then they make a bracha teva shechiyanu. But if they're with a family, a wife or children, whatever, then they make a bracha teva meitiv. Somebody just asked me this shayla 2 days ago. He had a baby boy. Told him to make a bracha teva meitiv. That's the halacha. The opposite side of the coin is if somebody hears, unfortunately, rachmana litzlan, bad news, a close family member passes away, or his house burns down, whatever it may be, then the bracha is baruch dayan ho'emes. So after the moon has now become full and it's on its way out, do we make a bracha of Baruch Dayan Ho'emes? No, we don't. Well, if we don't make a bracha of Baruch Dayan Ho'emes when the moon is on its way down, then surely we cannot make a bracha either of Atevah Meitiv when it's on its way up, because Atevah Meitiv and Baruch Dayan Ho'emes are two halves of one coin, and that's the Gemara's Teretz. Omale, he answered back, Otu. Surely, ki chaser, when the moon is now lacking, when it's on its way down, mi mevorchinon dayon ho'emes? Do we make a bracha of dayon ho'emes, delivery hateva meitiv, which would then make a lot of sense to make hateva meitiv? No, we don't. So if baruch dayon ho'emes is always the other side of the coin of hateva meitiv, for whatever reason, the Gemara doesn't even discuss it, but we all agree, for whatever reason, that nobody in the world makes a bracha about dayan or emes when the moon is on its way down. So therefore, the other side of the coin also can't be correct. You can't make a bracha about teva meitiv when it's on its way up. And Rashi explains, look at the last wide line. Otu ki chaser mi chashvinon lo ra legabon. Do we consider that something bad? The bracha of dayan ho'emes is when there's a basura ra'ah. Like we said, if somebody passes away, rachmana litzlan, that's a basura ra'ah. So then the bracha is dayan ho'emes. Do we consider the moon going down, meaning waning, is that something ra'ah levruchi dayan ho'emes? D'nachshoiv, such that we would consider es meliosa, the one it's now filling out and it's gone its way up, I should make a bracha tivusa, that's considered a goodness, levruchi ateva ameitiv. Obviously not. You cannot have one without the other. So if we all agree, for whatever reason, but the facts on the ground are that we do not make a bracha of dayan or emes when the moon is diminishing, Well, then obviously we cannot make a bracha either of hateva ameitev when it's on its upward direction.
So
Says
is that
the
connection like?
Gemara, why indeed? It's true. You've managed to prove to me that we don't say dayan or emes, and therefore we can't say hateva ameitev, I understand. But at the end of the day, the question is one word. Why? Why indeed? You're right. In as much as we don't say dayan or emes, then it doesn't make sense say hateva ameitev either. I understand that. But why indeed don't we? Says the Gemara, v'livrechinu letarvayu. So why indeed do we not make a bracha, both of those brachas, tarvayu, both of those brachas? Why indeed do we not make a bracha hateva ameitev on its way up and dayan or emes on the way down? Now, it's true, I agree that we don't make a bracha on its way down, and therefore you can't make a bracha on its way up. I agree, but why is that? Says Rashi, v'nivrich letarvayu, dayin ho'emes b'chesreina. Why indeed should we not make a bracha of dayin ho'emes when it's b'chesreina, when it's lacking, when it's diminishing? And v'teva meitiv b'meliusa. And the answer is, says the Gemara, given dahainu urche, therefore loy mevarachinon. What does ki urche mean? What does the word oirach mean? Like orcha sadikim? That's the way. That is its normal way. You only make a bracha either teva meitiv or dain emes if something happens, as it were, out of the ordinary. But if something is quote unquote ordinary, happens every single month, then you don't make a bracha. If somebody passes away, it's true, we know everybody passes away, but it's not a day-to-day event. Or if somebody buys a fridge, it doesn't happen every day. Mashenke in the moon is kiurche. It's been, as it were, pre-programmed. This one happens every single month. Have a look at Rashi. Dahainu urche. Bekol chodesh bria kemin. Every single month, ever since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, this is the minhag. Meaning, this is the way, this is the system. The ein kan din pur'anos b'chesreino. Therefore, it's not considered to be a punishment. What does it mean when we make a bracha, when one makes a bracha, baruch dayno emes? What it really means is that something, as it were, bad has happened. We must accept that as a punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By saying dayan or emes, what we're doing is we are being matzdik es hadin. In other words, we're recognizing that yes, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees fit that this person needs a punishment, then so be it. Baruch dayan or emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the emes to dayan, and this must be the correct form of punishment. But if the moon every single month diminishes, well, clearly it's not a chisar, it's not a peron, it's not a punishment. Or what did you want the moon to do? It should just remain full the whole time. It doesn't do that. So that's what Rashi says. When it's ki urche, that's the system that happens every single month, then neither do we look as it's diminishing as a punishment or as it's filling as a hatava. So ve'ein kan din puranios, we do not. There's no din of Purana, it's not considered a punishment. Bechesreino. Veloi hatovosolanu chesed b'meliusa. Again, if somebody wins the lottery, makes a bracha of a teva meitiv. Why? Special goodness. Wow, out of the blue. But if something happens the whole time, every month, what did you want to happen? That the moon should just remain disappearing? The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world from Tchilas Bria Sa'olam is that it waxes and wanes, it goes up and it goes down. So neither is the going down considered a punishment, nor is the going up considered a chesed, and therefore the brachas of dayan or emes and teva meitiv are totally inappropriate for kiddush levana. Okay, yeah. People wanted to ask questions. Larry Nachum, yeah, Larry.
How does Komanda Rachmana Letaba Abed fit into this?
Good question. That's a question not on this Gemara. That's a question on every bracha of our dayan or emes. Any person who makes a bracha, if chas v'shalom, a close family member passes away, make a bracha of dayan or emes. Why? Like we all know, it's a Mishnah in brachas. Kashem shemavarachin al hatoiv, Mavarchin al hara. What does that mean, ra? Everything is toif. And indeed, the Gemara says, La asid lavai will only make a bracha teva metiv. So the answer must be that ra and toiv is not defined as what's objectively tahan uroi, but subjectively. This is the way that we view it. If we have a question, right, the Gemara says, how can it be that tzaddik v'ra loy? What do you mean ra? It's not ra. Everything is toiv. What's the question? How can Moshe Rabbeinu ask a question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is there tzaddik v'ra loy? Nothing is ra. Everything is toiv. The answer is ra doesn't mean objectively what is it essentially, but rather subjectively. How do we view it? People in the world view death, for example, as ra. People view somebody's car crashing as ra. Now, it's true in the long term, it's toiv. I don't always understand it, etc., etc. But the word ra in this context is not what it is inherently, but rather the way that we view it. And it's viewed to be as a punishment, like Rashi says. Now, it's true, punishment is also toiv. Punishment is correctional and it saves us from Gehenna, etc., 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 etc. At the end of the day, it's a bad thing.
So what was Rabbi Akiva trying to teach us with Koman David Rachman Otaba?
Now we have to understand that even things that we assume view as ra are essentially toiv. We view them as ra, it's true, but essentially they're toiv. Everything at the end of the day has a purpose. Even punishment has a purpose. When somebody has to give a child a smack, that hurts, that's painful. In the long term, it's the toiv. It's painful. He wishes he didn't have to do it. He views it as ra and he's correct to do so. You have to know that in every ra, there is toiv essentially. Reb Nachum, you wanted to ask something?
Just, I had a question on the steps of the Gemara, just to make sure I understand this. So the Gemara is first giving an argument that because we're not saying dayan emes, you can't do a Baruch HaMetiv,
That was
HaTorah
there. So you missed the stage. What was the kasha? The kasha was that after the seventh of the month, I understand you can't say Mechadesh Chadoshim because not new.
HaMetiv. Right.
Can you make HaTeva Meitiv? And the answer is, well, HaTeva Meitiv is not an appropriate bracha. And I can prove to you it's not an appropriate bracha because you see that at the other half of the month, you don't make a bracha of Dayan or Emes. So if there's no Dayan or Emes, obviously there can't be Teva Meitiv.
Okay, so my question, but those they don't always go in tandem.
We do. The Gemara says that on a Basura Teva, you say a Teva Meitiv, and a Basura Ra, you say Dayan or Emes. They always have to go in
Yeah, but they
tandem.
don't have to exist simultaneously. I can have one exclusively.
Just like when a person is born, a child is born, you make teva mativ. When somebody passes away, you say dayan or emes. It always has to go hand in hand. It doesn't have to be simultaneous. But it has to be the two sides of one coin. If there's a particular event which doesn't warrant a bracha of dayan or emes, when you lose it, well, then it can't warrant a teva mativ when you gain it.
So when I buy a new car, I say a Tova Meitiv, and then when I sell it, I say Dynamis.
No, because when you sell it, it's not Poronius. But if somebody, Chas v'Shalom, would lose their car, it would go up in smoke, it would be a terrible accident. Yeah, they make a bracha of Dayan or Emes.
So it just, it, but it just, we just found an example where it exists without the Dynamis. I'm making a Tova Meitiv on my new car, but there's no Dynamis. I sold it one day.
The Seder, because you had the tremendous zechus and the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you were able to buy it. But you now willingly went and sold it. So there's nothing bad about that. But if it got taken away from you because there's a car crash or because it went up in smoke, that's Dayan or Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me this car. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the car. But if I decided I want to give it away or sell it or exchange or whatever, that's not Poronius. That's to the contrary. It could be a very lucrative deal for you. There's nothing bad about that. I was at a Sholom Zocha on Friday night, and they were discussing a shaila, apparently in Maaseh Shehoyah, where a woman went to hospital just before Shabbos to give birth, and her husband stayed at home. He had to look after the children. He couldn't accompany her. So she said, in the event that she gives birth on Friday night, she'll ask a goy to call the home, and they had a pre-prepared signal. If it rings three times, then they know it's a boy. And if it rings five times, then I know it's a girl. And then already made up that in the event it's a girl, this is the name, etc., etc. Fine, so he's waiting with bated breath for the phone call. 10 o'clock at night, suddenly the phone starts ringing. Okay, so yes, it's now count. How many rings are there? And he was sure he heard indeed three rings. Okay, so it's a girl. went the next day to shul, named the baby, speaks to his wife on Motzei Shabbos. Oh, no, how's Esti? What do you mean Esti? It's a big boy. The bris is next week. Well, you called three times. No, you miscalculated. Yeah, okay. Says the Gemara.
So what do you do there? So what
It's a toast.
change the name?
Yeah, you don't need any change. Although fascinatingly, to be perfectly honest, if I'm not mistaken, the person who said over the story said that they asked Rabbi Yashiv at the time, and Rabbi Yashiv said that when they name this baby, in other words, a boy, they should name it a name which is similar, as it were, to the female version of that name.
You know that my grandfather's name was Esther Mayer?
Your grandfather? How does that happen?
That's his name, Esther Mayer.
Interesting. Because there are some names which are joined. Right? I have a my father, Shiyarach Yomim Shonim, is called Simcha Bunim. His name is Simcha. My wife's sister is called Simcha. So there are some names that we know that are, as it were, joined for male and female. But interestingly enough, in this particular case, apparently that's what Rabbi Yashiv said. Rabbi Yashiv said that if they called the baby, they thought it was a girl, a particular name, they should have. We know there are some names. There are some names which sort of have a female and male version, not the same name. Simcha, we said, is the same name, but some there are some names. I know there's a couple in Ramah Aleph from Eliyahu Dovid. You might know them. Do you know Daniel Rose? Daniel Rose. He lives in Nachal Ramot.
Yes.
Okay, Daniel Rose. His wife is called Daniela. So Daniel and Daniela. So. You could have, for example, a husband called Michael and the wife called Michal, etc., etc.
I knew a couple in Los Angeles. They were Gavriel and Gavriela.
Gabriel and Gabriela. Okay.
And in
That's a
fact,
good
in our
point.
Gabbai in the Gra on Shabbos, his wife's name is Simcha, I believe.
Right. So we do have examples of that. I know a couple in London. He's called Michael and she's called Michelle. I'll call Pani Vaifen. A very interesting question. I was once at a bris, you know, our good friend Reb Bernard Bloch. So I was at the bris, I think of his very first grandson. So it came, whoever did the brachos is reciting the brachos, and he says, "No, v'yikara shmoy b'Yisrael," and he leans over to the Avi HaBen, and he says, "V'yikara shmoy b'Yisrael, Ariel Levi." That was the baby's name, Ariel Levi. Afterwards, it turns out that the father said, "One second, there's been a mistake over here. I whispered in your ear, Ariel Levy, not Ariel Levy." So he's misnamed the baby. Instead of saying Ariel Levy, is Ariel, or maybe the other way around. I can't remember. Maybe instead of Ariel, is it Ariel? Whatever it may be. So they were all a bit freaked out at the bris. He's doing the wrong name, and what does that mean? And they're all spooked out. So they called some Makubal, I don't know, some Kabbalist, da da da. Bernard Bloch is not really into this stuff. So he called, as far as I remember, Reb Zev Leff, who he's got a kesher with. Reb Zev Leff was not very impressed with the whole story and says, "Listen, the parents named the baby, not the Rav who says the brachas. He's the shliach of the parents. He didn't carry out the shlichus. It was a toast. Finish. Start again. Name him again. Nothing's happened. Finish." You know, any Kabbalistic woohoo seminar, and he's finished. He's a shliach. He didn't carry out the shlichus. The halacha is shluchay shel adam kamoisay. The shliach of a person is like the person himself, but that's only if you do what you're asked. So if I asked you to call the baby Ariel Levy and you said Ariel Levy, well, thank you very much. That's not what I asked you to do. So you're not a shliach. So nothing's happened.
Rebbe, when Sam was born, we didn't have a name. So I went to my father-in-law and said, "I want to name my son after your grandfather." So he
Right.
says, "Yeah, my grandfather's name was Samuel." I said, "That's all well and good, but what was his Hebrew name?" I said, he goes, "I imagine, I don't know." So I go, "Shmuel, Samuel, Shmuel." He goes, "Yeah, Shmuel." So we named him Shmuel Binyamin. So, like during that year, somebody had passed away from his family. So we went to the cemetery. And I said to my father-in-law, "Could you take me over to the grave of your grandfather so I can make a kasher and look at the matzeva of the person that I named my son after?" So I take him. He takes me over. It says Samuel Geller, Shaul something. So I said his name was Shaul, not Shmuel. So now I named Sam Shmuel, in the intention of naming after a guy whose name was Shaul. So I guess nothing changes, right? So I said Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem wanted him to be named Shmuel. That's the end of that.
Oh, that's a great story. Well, we had a story in our Kehillah just a few months ago where somebody had a baby boy and sorry, a baby girl. He had a baby girl and he named her a particular name. I can't remember what it was. And then on Motzei Shabbos, he calls up his mother who lives in Brazil. Yeah, Mazel Tov, we had a baby girl. And this is the name that we named her. Upon which the mother answered back, very horrified, well, how could you possibly do that? That's my name. We know in the Sephardi circles, they do give names to people who are alive. But in the Ashkenazi circle, absolutely not. So this person, whatever, he's a Baal Teshuva and his mother is irreligious, was very shocked. That's your name? I never in a million years knew that's your thought. That's your name. His mother is known, she's Brazilian, Shuzana. So he always thought her name is Shoshana. So yeah, I wouldn't give the name Shoshana. That's what we called it. I don't know, Esther, whatever it may be. Rachel, I think it was. So she emailed him a photo of her ksuba, in which it really does say that no, her name is Rachel, not Shoshana. So he called me and said, well, what do I do now? I've named her Rachel. It wasn't a mistake, as in we didn't want that name. We did want that name. I just didn't realize that's my mother's name. And had I known, then certainly I wouldn't have done it. Anyway, I referred him to my uncle, who's a big expert in names. And he said, absolutely, you never would have named that name had you known that was your mother's name. And you should get an aliyah on the following Monday. And you don't need to make any fuss. It's not called a Shinui Hashem. You just start again. You make him a Shiberach. And this is the new name. I've been...
Are you suggesting that I should change Sam's name or?
No.
It's a little late. It's 27 years. It would be a little weird.
No, because in your case, it's not a mistake as in you wouldn't have wanted. You would have made one something else. But here, in this case, he absolutely would not have wanted the name that he gave because it was his mother's name. You're happy with Shmuel. Beautiful name. I have twins also, Larry, as you know. And the youngest is also called Avram Shmuel Binyamin. After the Ksav Sefer. I've been in the Gros Shul on one or two occasions where a person has actually changed his name for varying reasons. And I once asked Rav Kornfeld, you know, how do you do this? And he said, well, we've done it quite a few times in the Gros Shul. Not very complicated. You call him up for the Torah by his current name. And then when he goes down from the Torah, you do a Mishiberach and you go to the new name. So he comes up with one name and he leaves or something else completely.
Listen, my wife's name for years, her parents weren't so religious, so I asked, when we got married, I asked my mother-in-law, what's her name? Sidaleya, Sidaleya, Sidaleya. So I said, is it Sidaleya, Soraleya? What is it? She goes, I don't know. I don't know what it was. So we just decided to go with Soraleya because it sounded more realistic. And when I went to, years later, I went to Rabbi David Abuchatzera, he accepted the name Soraleya as if that's her name. Because But what's weird is my mother-in-law's name is Chayasara, so it's a very strange, but whatever. So I could be married to the wrong person this whole time, which would make sense.
Okay, back to our story. There is somebody in Beis Tefillah Shul in Ramah Aleph, who I once was davening that shul, and I heard him get called up. Something like, Yamoid Reb Chaim John. So I can't remember if I asked him or if Kornfeld told me. Apparently, he's also Balchel, and he was known as John. And he maintained that that was his only name, and he never had a Jewish name. So he claims, I don't know, it's a bit interesting to me, but he claims that he went to one of the Gedolei Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fischer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who told him he must add a new name, but he should still keep the name John. So it's called David John. I'll tell you an amazing story if we're on the subject of names. Do any of you know in Ramah Aleph somebody called Stefan Coleman, who's known as Shmuel Coleman? Really old David, do you know who that is?
Yes, I think I know him. He hosts brisses in his
correct
apartment on Nachal Noam, I think.
Okay, so he, many, many years ago, used to be in this morning shir, our morning shir with the Nebaruch Bebchik days, and he was a member of the shir. So he comes up to you once and says, listen, my name is Stefan Coleman, and my Hebrew name is, very fascinatingly, Sarar Sin Resh Resh Lev. Sarar Lev. I said, it's a very unusual name. I've never heard of that name. He says, my grandmother was called Sarah, and they wanted to call me after her, so they can't call me Sarah. That's a girl's name. So they changed it to Sarar. And why they call Lev, I don't know, after some uncle. Okay. He says, now I've become religious. I'm thinking maybe I should change the name. He said, my parents are coming in from Arizona or something for a simcha. So maybe it'd be an appropriate time. Maybe now's a good time to change my name, although it's a very sensitive issue. My mother might not be thrilled about it if I change it, because after all, I'm named after her mother. So I asked Rav Kornfeld, what should I do? He said, take them to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. But he said, you have to warn them in advance that Rav Chaim Kanievsky may suggest another name. In other words, you have to ask him, should you change the name? And if he says yes, he may tell you not only should you change it, but you must change it to the following. And he said, you have to warn him in advance. Whatever he says, that's what you have to do. Okay, I set up an appointment with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It's all set up for Sunday. I'm going to go with Stefan Coleman and his parents. Shabbos afternoon, Stefan Coleman comes out to me. Oh no, it's been a whole explosion now at home. I've told the news to my parents. My mother's all upset. How can you change the name? And you've become religious and you named my mother. Da, da, da. What should I do? Fine. I went back to Rav Kornfeld. What should I do? He said, as long as the mother's not calm, don't go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Wait a little bit. Sunday morning, he comes back to me, Stefan Coleman. No, my mother is okay with it now. Fine. So Sunday lunchtime, off we go to Bnei Brak. I was all very, very nervous. The parents are totally irreligious. What are they going to say about Rav Chaim Kanievsky? We get to Rav Chaim Kanievsky's house, and officially we'd made an appointment. Now, I don't know if you ever went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. The door was locked, and there's a big queue of people outside, and it's pushing and shoving, and it was boiling. And meanwhile, I'm there with Stefan. Okay, we were relatively young, but his father was an older person, and he's being pushed and shoved. He's never seen anything like this in his life. And so I didn't know what to do. And every so often the door opened and they took in one person and immediately shut the door. And then again, you find yourself waiting. So I thought there's a bit of a Chil Hashem. So he's there with his like shoulder length hair. So I called up the Gabbai of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who I knew was inside. I said, listen, I called you on Thursday for an appointment. I'm standing just outside the door with family Coleman, and they've come from America especially. Could you please let us in? 30 seconds later, the door opens. They call us, okay, family Coleman, please come in. So walking to Chaim Kanievsky's house, Stefan Coleman's father, there with his little yarmulke and his long hair, is amazed at how did I manage to get him in? He says, wow, Rabbi, how did you do that? Maybe you can get us ticket for the Yankees as well, he says to me. I think this must be the only time that the Yankees were mentioned in Chaim Kanievsky's house. Okay, so we approach Reb Chaim. I was very nervous. Now, I discussed with Stefan beforehand. I said to him, listen, Rav Kornfeld said, Reb Chaim might suggest another name. But just in case he doesn't, maybe you should have a name that you'd like to suggest to him. So he said, fine. If he says I should change it, I guess Sarar is similar to Yisrael. So ask Reb Chaim if we can call it Yisrael. Okay. So everything is all set. The mother obviously was not inside the room. She was waiting outside. I'm all nervous. What is Reb Chaim going to say? So I pointed out to Reb Chaim, I've actually got a picture of it on the wall. Someone took a photograph. And I leaned over and I showed him the piece of paper, Sarar Lev. And all I remember is Reb Chaim said, Ze lo shem, v'ze lo shem. That's not a name and that's not a name. You've got to change both of them. Okay, big gulp. So I said to Reb Chaim, what should we change it to? And I was just about to say, should we change it to Yisrael? That was Stefan's suggestion. So Reb Chaim looked at me and said, what should you change it to? He says, Shmuel. That's what he said, Shmuel. Why did he say Shmuel? I don't know. Sarar Lev is Sin Lamed Shmuel. I don't know. He said Shmuel. So I turned around to Stefan. I said, Stefan, is that okay for you? Shmuel, is that okay? You wanted Yisrael, but Barov says Shmuel. Yeah, fine. That's okay. Okay. So he's now called Shmuel Coleman, which, by the way, is what he's known as until today. We left Reb Chaim Kanievsky's home, and Shmuel's mother's waiting outside, and she says, well, what happened with the rabbi? So I take a deep breath, and I say, well, the rabbi said, yes, he's got to change his name. Gulp. He said, what to? I said, Shmuel. And she burst into tears. She says, what? That's my father's name. Shmuel is my father's name. And in fact, she says, it was his yahrzeit yesterday. And then she burst into tears. She said, I could never have named after him because when Stefan was born, my father was still alive. So I couldn't call him Shmuel. He's passed away recently, and now the rabbi has come up with his name Shmuel. That's precisely my father's name.
Rebbe, if you were to think about this, would you say to yourself that Reb Chaim knew that it was the father and then,
No.
or he just got a
No.
burst of energy that said Shmuel?
When I came back to the Gra, I told Reb Chaim, I told Reb